On Monday, we read from your emails. We received over 100 emails asking for a follow-up on one part of our conversation about the 9/11 hearings. During that show, a caller raised a question about an anti-terrorism task force chaired by Vice President Dick Cheney. At the time, we didn't have an answer. David Abbott of Portland, Oregon, sent us an email that was typical of the dozens we received. I listened to the rest of the show waiting for a clarification or response, and I heard none. Can you clarify this for your audience? I would like to know all the facts I can regarding this issue. To shed some light on this topic, we've invited James Mann to join us. He's the author of Rise of the Vulcans, The History of Bush's War Cabinet. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about this task force. When was it created and what was its purpose?
It was created by the president on May 8th of 2001. He assigned Vice President Cheney to oversee a study of the nation's ability to respond to domestic terrorism. So this was a piece of the terrorism issue. It wasn't really focused on finding out what's out there, but on how the United States would respond.
What led to the formation of this task force? Was there something specific that had occurred that set off alarm bells in some way?
I think this is part of the administration's slow and deliberate effort to come to grips with terrorism. They had people such as Richard Clark, who'd worked on counterterrorism before, who were recommending that they take a bunch of actions. And they were gradually working their way through this.
Did this task force ever meet?
What I said in my book and what I know is that it never got off the ground. That's slightly different. I can't say that they never met. They may have had some staff meeting or preliminary organizational meeting. It's conceivable they met, but they really never got anywhere or did anything. I was told that they were looking around for office space. This is the pattern of Washington bureaucracy.
So it was getting off to a very slow start, you're saying?
Yeah, it's worth pointing out. In fact, Vice President Cheney was interviewed on CNN that day, and he mentioned this new task force, but it was really sort of the tail end of a long talk about the issue at hand that he was spending a lot of his time on and that the media were focusing on, which was his energy task force. This was really kind of an add-on at the end.
So presumably no report was ever issued by this task force?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay.
James Mann is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. He's the author of Rise of the Vulcans, The History of Bush's War Cabinet. Our program on morale and suicide rates among troops serving in Iraq elicited these emails from concerned mothers about how the military deals with the mental health history of a potential recruit. From Sherry Hamilton, my 28-year-old son is a diagnosed schizophrenic who has been actively pursued by an Army recruiter, even though he has told the recruiter that he's under psychiatric care and has even given him a list of the antipsychotic medications he's taking. The man is still trying to make arrangements for him to join. Glenda Wood wrote about the military having the opposite reaction to her son when the issue of mental health treatment came up. She and her son went through counseling to help the family cope with divorce. She says the counseling helped then, but came back to haunt her son when he joined the Air Force in 1997. Glenda Wood wrote, "When my 19-year-old was faced with the question about whether he had ever had counseling, he answered truthfully and promptly had 10 points taken from his score, meaning that he could not get into the program he wanted, all because he was honest and because I had taken him for emotional help whenever he needed it. The military needs to take a long, hard look at this policy. I wonder how many of those young people who committed suicide were afraid to ask for help because of this culture, this attitude, and these policies." Thanks to all of you for your mail last week. If you have questions, comments, or a correction, we want to hear from you. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Please be sure to include the topic of the show in the subject line. Tell us where you're writing from, city and state, please. And if necessary, give us guidance on how to pronounce your name.